you're here. Fellowship's real, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's February 28th. It's Wednesday. It's the last day in this great month. Tomorrow we start March. Wow. And I got in
the
front of
the March towards Easter.
Yeah, the march towards Easter.
Yeah, I mean, Easter would be like 4 weeks away.
Oh, there's great music always during the Easter time, along with the phenomenal message, the resurrection. Resurrection Sunday upon us. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Coming.
But let's see. One, two, four, five things in front of me. So I want to do a quick little highlight. Before.
There's nothing you do that's quick. So yeah, just do right. Just do what you must.
Yes, what I must. I do want to mention, if you were tuned in on the Monday or Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, you heard a Moody special honoring the memory of Dr. Billy Graham, some of his testimony and sharing, and people from the Moody staff recollecting memories and past experiences, and just so powerful. And I know, Jason, you and I were recently talking about all that the media is doing, and I think it's getting people thinking about death and eternity. And Billy Graham, who presented to hundreds of millions of people over his lifetime, hopefully that becomes a topic that people have at the workplace or in other occasions where it gets brought up because it's such a newsworthy story. Today, I guess he'll be laid in the rotunda, I think, for the next 2 days, and I'm sure there'll be many TV specials and other announcements. But what a great man of God that finished well. So that's today. I'm sure you'll be watching that and being aware of the specials that they have about Billy Graham, including what we aired on Monday and Tuesday. Now, I will say, Thursday and Friday, I'll be at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. Mm. So tomorrow and Friday, our good friend Joey Kroll, he'll be holding down the fort and dividing God's Word, sharing an encouraging message from God's Word. So tune in and you'll hear from Joey. Now, a couple different events that are keeping us hopping here at the Great News Radio Center. On Saturday, March 17th, so I guess that would be like 18 days away, a couple Saturdays away, the Singing Men of GNN will be presenting at 4 p.m. during the Home and Garden Show here at Lincoln Square. So Channel 3 and a number of other sponsors are putting on that. Pretty well attended. I think last year was 4,000 or 5,000 people came here at Lincoln Square. So they packed this mall, and it'll be a neat occasion if you're thinking about remodeling or knowing more about gardening or home improvement or all the things that, if you've attended any home and garden show, you know they have like 70, 80, 90, 100 different vendors that sell everything from siding to landscaping to anything dealing with your home or garden. So that'll be March 17th and 18th, that Saturday, Sunday. But the Singing Men will be singing, I believe it's 4 o'clock on the 17th.
Okay, so great.
Put that on your calendar. We're putting together another trip to the Creation Museum Ark Experience. C.J. Sizemore approached me, I don't know, a week or two back and said, Mark, I have about 10 or 15 people from our small group, or they have like this champions thing at their church at Meadowbrook. And he said, I don't know if I have the energy or I'm up to coordinating it. Might you want to? And I was like, oh, geez, I didn't need another thing. But I had great records and accommodations at different hotels, and you know, everything had been laid out. So I just kind of revamped, pulled up that file, and had all the forms and everything. So that'll be Saturday, Sunday, May 19th and 20th. So we'll leave basically at about 6:30 in the morning on Saturday, May 19th, and head to the Creation Museum, get there about noon, have lunch, and then enjoy the Creation Museum till about 6 in the evening. Then we'll head to our hotel, a real nice Hyatt. I think it's actually on the Ohio border, but it's a really nice one. People really appreciate the accommodations. They have a hot breakfast with eggs and all the fixins. And then that Sunday we'll go to an area church that we attended 2 years ago when we did this. And it was a great message, a nice church. And then we'll head over to the Ark Encounter, I think is what they call it, on the 20th Sunday. I think that opens at 11. So we'll get there at noon or just after noon and stay there till about 4 or 5. And then head home back by about 8:30. So the cost for that, including nice deluxe accommodations, the motor coach, all the entrance fees and all that, the planetarium ticket and all that, it's $180 per person.
No, that's not too bad.
So Yeah, CJ thought it was going to be 200 or more, and so I was able to work a couple deals, get a couple discounts, and we got it for 180 per person.
Oh, that's great.
So for somebody, you know, that wants to go with their friend, and that's based on two people to a room. Mm-hmm. There's an extra $65 charge if you wanted a room by yourself. But basically, 180,
make all a
inclusive.
Friend, and gosh, to save $60.
It's worth it.
Sleep on the floor.
So that's Saturday, Sunday, May 19th and 20th. Then in June, Ivan Parker's coming to town. So he'll be here for a concert with the Singing Men of GNN.
He keeps this
Saturday
up. He's going to have to become a resident, isn't he?
Yeah. I think this will be the third or fourth year he's been with us, but he comes to this area all the time, and so we booked him again, and that's always an encouraging concert.
Ivan, and he brings his son, too, right?
Yes, yeah. Ivan and, Jake. It's Jason. Oh, I'm going blank. I can picture his photograph. He's the longer hair, plays the guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah, coming June 9th. No, I think that's enough for now. So a lot of different activities going on. We're in the midst of our October 3rd through 13th 11-day pilgrimage to Israel. It was funny. Last Friday night we had our Israel Interest Night. And I had been saying 10-day pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I think it was on most of the materials. I just kind of looked at it and said, yeah,
Josh 10-day. Parker.
Josh, yep, that's what it is. Oh, very good, thank you. But it's an 11-day pilgrimage to Israel, so excited about
that. What will you do on an extra day?
Well, you know, Lindy had proposed saying, why don't you give your group like a rest day or an off day or a free day, I guess is how she defined it, where they could travel or sleep in or go to the pools and the hotels. And with it being October, it'll be basically 75 to about 83, so it'll be hot. And so I was thinking, we'll have to figure out. I know we're going to do a special trip to Bridges for Peace and probably a 2 or 3 hour presentation. And I don't know what we called it when we assembled bags and groceries. And
we did all kinds of different things. It was good. That was a great ministry there.
Yeah, team building exercise. So maybe we'll do that on the off day. Or just let everyone enjoy, you know, walking to the old city or doing some fun things at the
falafel.
Hotel. Yeah, falafel.
An extra falafel.
Falafel party. Oh, yeah. And we got our 30 stands last week, so we've been placing those in a number of area locations. That's the Prime Life Times paper. And, in fact, I think it's today we'll be putting out the March edition, or they were starting to be put out yesterday. They just arrived, and so those will be going into the area locations. So the March edition, again, 24 pages we added. We began at 16 pages and added, and for April we're already talking about adding four more. It's like,
oh wow.
We got a lot of great content contributors, new people. And it's been exciting to see all the different places that say, hey, bring it in. You know, we put it in Yoder's restaurant last week, and we're at Marketplace Mall. And I don't know, we just keep finding new places to put the paper, and it seems like it's being received well. So we keep praying that God uses that as a vehicle to introduce people to the station and just be a blessing to the many thousands of readers, 26,000-plus readers, we estimate, read it each and every month. So keep getting that good content in there and see how God uses it for His glory. Mm. So speaking of good content, what good content do we have in God's holy inspired scriptures today?
I think it's all good.
Yeah.
I think if we don't say it's all good, then we run the risk of having a real problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, something we studied recently, I got some folks who come in my office and we just wrestled the Bible a little bit together. And we were in the third chapter of Colossians, which is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It really is. I love what happens in Colossians. But the third chapter begins by saying, you know, since then you've been raised with Christ. You know, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then it ends that run in Scripture there in verse 4, where it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you'll appear with Him in glory. So it's this idea of putting to death by keeping your eyes on the right things. You keep your eyes, you situate your heart upward to where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You situate your mind not on earthly things, but on heavenly things. And so the idea is that your focus of both your heart and your mind. And I love that the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, says you have to treat those things differently. You have to treat those things differently, because your heart will run after, your heart will do things that your mind will never do, and your mind will attempt to argue your heart out of doing the things that it wants to do. A great example is recently we had a gentleman, he came and he painted our house.
And that was kind of a miracle story.
It was a really, really was a God story. And the quote that he gave us was so incredibly fair. But it was an outrageous quote concerning how well he did in terms of the work. I mean, the quality of work was, I mean, he would get done and clean up. I mean, clean the house better than we do. but he just did such a good thing. So my wife was in Romania at the time, and I called her, and I said, well, I didn't call her. We were messaging back and forth during the day. And I said, hey, this is what the quote is, but I'm going to give him extra money. Because he's doing a great job. And so the last day was done. He was done. We were going to settle it up. And he sent me a message saying, hey, I just finished cleaning up. You know, you wanted me to tell you so we could settle this up. So I swung by the bank and I got a bunch of money. And I'm driving back to the house. And it was just so classic to what Paul is talking about here in Colossians 3. I'm driving back to the house and I'm going, okay, well, I'm going to give him this much money. And all of a sudden I'm going, well, you know, I mean, you don't really have to give him that much. Why don't you just give him this much instead? And then you can use that other money to do that other thing you want to do. Hmm. Well, you know, I mean, the quote was really only this. Why don't you just give him the quote? That's what he thinks is fair. I mean, and really, I mean, from the bank, and if anybody has any idea about the geography of, you know, where I live, from the bank to my house is like 3 blocks. And so in the span of 3 blocks, I went from generous to when I was at the bank, it was what my heart wanted to do. And when I was pulling up into my driveway, it's what my mind was trying to get my heart to do. Yeah. And so I think you've got to treat the heart and the mind separate, because both of them try and do something different. By the way, just so if anybody's like on the edge of their seat, when I got out of the car, I said, you know what? Shut up, mind. We're giving them, you know, this is what we're doing. And a lot of people, you know, the heart would be synonymous for us for the leadings of the Holy Spirit. And the mind could be our human nature. But Paul says you need to take both of these things, you need to corral them, and you need to orientate them to God.
Well, wasn't there that verse, take captive every thought, make
take
it obedient
captive
to
every
Christ.
Thought. Yeah. Yep. And so I experienced that firsthand, and I guarantee you that most of the people listening, most of you listening, would say, oh, yeah, I've got a story just like that, where I felt like God called me to do something, and then all of a sudden I had my inner debater. You know, he showed up, and he began to debate why we shouldn't do it or why we couldn't do that, or why, even though it was very clear that this is what I was supposed to do. I could feel it down in the depths of my heart. And so Paul talks about that in the beginning of the third chapter of Colossians. But then it's interesting, he moves, because he's talked about putting these things to death, and then he wants us to know what the stumbling blocks are. So he moves down in verse 5, and he says, put to death therefore. So he's saying, look, you've been raised to the newness of life, so you need to put some things to death. By the way, if you're somebody who maybe is wrestling with a sin, you're fighting a sin, you're struggling with a sin, I just want to tell you, the Bible doesn't necessarily understand struggle, wrestle, and that. The Bible says put it to death.
Hmm.
The Bible says don't contend with it, kill it. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't wrestle with some things. That doesn't mean you don't struggle with some things. But I'm just telling you that sometimes when we change our mindset and we go, you know what, my job is not to fight this thing, my job is to kill it, we fight it differently.
I'm thinking of that psalm. You know how usually where things get layered, or the Old Testament points towards the New, you know, don't sit. You know, where you walk, then you suddenly stop, and then you're seated with it. And, you know, if you're wrestling with it, you're not putting it to death, it's going to probably overcome you.
Yeah, and so one of the really interesting things about this list is that, you know, he says you need to put these things to death, and it begins this list of sins. And so we're wrestling this scripture together, and I just looked at everybody and said, you know what, I really think one of the things that this scripture is designed to do is to show us our own unrighteousness or our own self-righteousness. And everyone was like, wait, what do you mean? What do you mean? And I said, well, listen to this. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality. And everybody in the room goes, not me. Impurity. Well, maybe, but not really me. Passion. Well, I'm passionate, but I hope I'm passionate about the good things. Evil desire. Well, I haven't had any evil desires recently. Covetousness. Yeah, maybe. But the first sins that are listed here are ones that many of us would say, not me. Not me. Not me. Feel your self-righteousness kind of getting up there. Not me. Not me. No, just not you yet. Because what I love is all of a sudden Paul goes, oh yeah, by the way, anger, guilty. Mm. Wrath, guilty. Mm. Malice, guilty. Slander, guilty. Mm. Obscene talk, guilty. So Paul starts out with these sins where there may have been people who, when they're hearing this being read, are going, that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. And all of a sudden it's like, that's me. Hmm. That's me too. oh my God, that's I'm just angry. I'm angry that you're reading this list. I have malice in my heart because you won't be quiet reading this list to me. And what is interesting is that Paul actually lists these things as a pattern. He says here that this is a pattern that you need to change. You know, it was interesting. I was talking to a gentleman not too long ago, and he was talking about how when he got saved, his life was different. And I said, well, tell me how it is that you – how do you tell people about your new life in Christ? He goes, well, it's like I'm a train, and they pick me up and put me on fresh track. I used to run on those tracks, but I don't run on those tracks anymore. I run on these tracks now. And Paul gives you this list because he says, look, these are the tracks that you're running on that lead towards death. These are tracks that you run on that leads towards trouble. And you need to put away these patterns. You need to get rid of these patterns. First of all, you need to see that you have these patterns in your life. And then you need to put them away. And then he says in verse 10, and put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. So you're going, look, I am in Christ. And by the way, this is awesome. This is what I just love. Is then in verse 11, it says this. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And this is why I would say that this run of verses is meant to uncover our self-righteousness. Because he says at the end, there's no differentiation. This is everybody. Whether you live on the south side or the north side, whether you're a barbarian or whether you're a Greek, whether you're a Jew, whether you're circumcised, whether you're uncircumcised, Christ is in all and is all. And therefore, you shouldn't have any reason to feel self-righteous. None at all. And then again, Paul uses the same kind of metaphor. Put on then as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven you. Now, you know what I see when I read this list that just blows me away? Is that I can do the first thing so easily. Like, let's have a moment of real honesty. I can do anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk far easier than I can do compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving. I mean, I think, look, we can't put it to death unless we first admit that there's something that needs to be killed in our life. That for whatever reason it is, my nature, my fallen nature, I can do anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. I can do all that so easy. And let's all just admit, there's a part of us that kind of likes it. You hear an obscene joke and you're like, oh, well, that was really kind of funny. It's not right, but it was really kind of funny. And yet, when it comes to compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience and bearing with one another and forgiving one another, that's really hard. And I think these verses are meant to show us that the really hard stuff requires Jesus Christ. It requires Christ. It requires his strength and his power. It requires the Holy Spirit. That's why he says, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. Listen, when you look on your brother and you're thinking like, oh, you know, and then you go, wait a second. The Lord forgave me? I should forgive him. Oh my gosh. Like, he's a jerk. I'm a jerk. I'm a real jerk. And the Lord saved me. How can I not look the same upon my brother? And the Bible is replete with those kinds of things where it says, and if you look begrudgingly upon your brother, that's back in Deuteronomy. Back in the Proverbs, when you turn an evil eye towards your brother, Jesus addressed that in Matthew chapter 6, I believe it is, when he's talking about how we use our eyes. And so here, Paul is saying, look at, you need the Lord. And that's why in verse 14 he says, and above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together. Every single bit of it together. Now, what's interesting is this, and then we'll tie it up, is that Paul has spent a fair amount of time here talking about sin. Now, when we teach sin in Awana, this is how we teach it. By the way, I teach it to adults this way now, too. Sin is anything. You got to put your finger to your head, to your mouth, and then you got to slam your fist. Sin is anything I think, say, or do that disobeys God. Sin is anything I think, say, or do that disobeys God. So what do I need to do that's the opposite of sin? What's fascinating is Paul tells us. Paul says here, he says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's what you think. Then he says, singing psalms and hymns. That's what comes out of your mouth. And then he says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. Mm. See, sin is anything we think, say, or do that disobeys God. And Paul says, let the word dwell richly in your mind. Let out of your mouth comes praise and hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. And whatever you do, do it with the Lord, for the Lord, and in the Lord's name. And that's how you battle sin. You have to address the mind, the words, and the actions in order to do that. And that's hard, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit.
And that word, whatever you do.
Whatever.
Not just a few of the things what you do on the weekend or Monday through Friday. Whatever, you know, your activities, your hobbies, whatever you watch, whatever you see, how you interact with people. I mean, whatever is whatever.
I taught that verse one time to somebody, and they said to me, yeah, but what about this? I go, that's a whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever you can think of is a whatever.
Yeah, and I like how whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So is it praiseworthy? Is it giving God the glory? Yeah. Then you're on the right tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, a good chapter, Colossians number 3. Yeah, 3:2 I think is set your mind to things above, not on earthly things, and then 3:17 and 3:23 or something.
Hey, the Navigators.
Oh, well, I love, that's one of my favorite chapters in all the scriptures. Lots of good points of application. So the assignment for you today, draw near to God, for sure. Read his word, and maybe spend a little time in Colossians chapter 3, or for that matter, anywhere. If you're doing your Proverbs, read through the Bible, you know, this being the last day of the month, and you start it tomorrow, with it being March 1st, start in Proverbs chapter 1. Some people read 4 Psalms as a practice every day of the month, and then they can get through the 150 Psalms, basically, in a 30-day month. We recommend any kind of reading that you can do, any kind of practice. Hey, it's not too late to start that New Year's resolution over again. It's a new month tomorrow, so be in God's Word. Allow the fragrance of Christ to minister through those around you, family members, and stay on course as we want to bring glory to God.
Amen.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.